Welcome to the ADAA podcast about exercise in the treatment of anxiety disorders. Today we're talking with Dr. Karen Cassaday of the Anxiety and Agoraphobia Treatment Center in Northbrook, Illinois. Dr. Cassaday, let me ask you the first question. How does exercise work to reduce anxiety disorders?
Well, there's a lot of research, Jean, that shows that exercise can decrease your overall stress as well as decreasing your actual anxiety level. It also decreases depressed mood and makes you feel better. Regular exercisers also sleep better, and that, of course, is a problem for most people with anxiety disorders, is being able to get to sleep or have good quality sleep.
And does it have long-term effects on anxiety disorders?
What we found is if you can develop a lifestyle of regular exercise, then you can do a lot to decrease the general stressors that help to trigger your anxiety symptoms or a patient's anxiety symptoms. And in that way, it's prophylactic. We also know that exercise can be very helpful interoceptive exposure for panickers who are fearful of the physical symptoms of anxiety. Exercise induces the racing heartbeats, the sweating, feeling uncomfortable and a little dizzy or faint. It's very helpful.
Are there any types of exercise that are more effective than others?
This is what's really fascinating, is that both aerobic exercise and anaerobic exercise are effective. The dose is what's most important. The research that we look at on exercise and improving your mood shows that you actually have to exercise a lot. You need to average 50 to 60 minutes a session for an average of 5 to 6 days a week. So that's quite a bit more than the American Academy of Cardiology saying 20 to 30 minutes 3 times a week.
And most of us avoid exercise for one reason or another, but why might patients with anxiety disorder avoid exercise?
Well, they avoid it. One particular reason, especially for panickers and patients with health anxiety, is they're actually fearful that exercise could be dangerous or could provoke a panic attack. The other reasons are the ones that their therapists avoid exercise, which is it's hard to schedule, I don't identify myself as an exerciser, or I'm taking care of everyone else. And one of the interesting things that we do know is that women, adult women who have a partner or who have children, are less likely to exercise, and their biggest barrier is taking care of everyone else. And so what we found in our clinical practice is that if you want your patients to become regular exercisers, you need to use the same motivational interviewing techniques, the same time management and scheduling techniques and structuring techniques that you would do for their anxiety practice for panic management or OCD or worry.
In your experience, is there an effective way for therapists to get people to start with exercise and stick with the program?
What we use and we found is most effective is to go over what all the research shows about how healthy it is. We know that in addition to what I've mentioned is that exercise can improve your attention, concentration, your energy level. A lot of anxious patients feel energy depleted and fatigued. We know that it can improve your libido, and middle-aged men who just want to exercise on the weekend prefer that to taking Viagra. We found that's very compelling. And then when we have youth or children, we found that children who are regular exercisers make better grades, are less likely to use drugs and alcohol, more likely to wear a seatbelt, and more likely to complete high school, and also to do chores. So, it's more like, what reason isn't there to do exercise?
I was going to ask. There seems to be no downside to exercise.
There is no downside. And what we like to do with patients once we go over the reasons I just mentioned is to have the patient develop their own personal reasons. The best reasons are one that lasts for all time, such as I feel better, I look better. We know that both women and men who exercise feel thinner whether or not they lose weight, and they feel more attractive after exercise sessions. So we might have a patient do hypothesis testing before exercise and say, let's rate your mood, how good you feel about yourself, how good you feel about life, and then compare afterwards. And then at another time, pick a day where you don't exercise, rate that, and then you can build motivation that way.
Do some anxiety disorders respond better to exercise than others?
We don't have any research supporting that. I do believe, or my personal experience as a clinician, is that exercise is good for everyone, but especially when we have panickers who are afraid of doing anything that would create physical sensations. And we consider that part of our interoceptive exposure package.
Are there any areas of research that you would like to see undertaken regarding exercise and anxiety disorder treatment?
What I'd love to see is research done on children and teens. The research I'm citing in general applies to adults when it relates to mood. I mentioned the research about children, but children are an underserved population when we're looking at research. I think that would be great. My guess is going to be that we'll find we need to start very young with creating an exercise lifestyle instead of a video game and screens-based lifestyle.
Thank you, Dr. Cassaday. And this is Jean Kaplan-Tycro for ADAA.